Well, today we get the last of Jesus' healing miracles in the Gospel according to Mark. This is kind of a transitional point in the Gospel. Jesus has been spending his time busy in ministry. And right after today's reading comes Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The crucifixion is coming soon. But this passage starts out with this blind beggar, Bartimaeus, hearing that Jesus of Nazareth is near and shouting his name. Jesus Christ, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It reminds me of that situation I'm sure most of you have been in on one side or the other. A little kid wants something and asks, Mom, 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 or Dad, over and over again. It may not seem like it after a while, but it's a loving request. It's using Mom or Dad, that personal, familiar name they have for that person, for their parent. It's a step up from just shouting demands or questions like, are we there yet? And I remember one time I was at Walmart and I saw a kid in a shopping cart do this. Say, Mom, Mom, over and over again. He obviously wanted the loving attention that only a parent can give. But his mom was far too engrossed in her cell phone texting friends to even notice him. So the kid reached into the cart, picked up a box, and threw it on the ground. You better believe it got the mom's attention. Not in a good way. But this boy was so desperate for attention that even that negative attention was better than just being ignored. The problem is, so often we take our situation, our context, and we put it on God, who's most definitely not us. I've heard many people say, God doesn't want to hear my prayers. God's probably tired of hearing me. Or even, God's ignoring me. God doesn't listen to me. Those are all situations where we take ourselves, our experiences, and try to assume what God's response will be. If I had someone calling for me, bothering me this often, I'd be upset with them. Well, each of those assumptions I've just stated are wrong. Even here in our passage today, I'm guessing throughout this country, there are a number of pastors preaching on Mark 10 who are describing Jesus at the end of his rope. If we put ourselves in Jesus' place, it would seem that way. This is at the very end of Jesus' ministry, and he knows he's on his way to the crucifixion. If I was in his place and I heard someone shouting my name over and over like that, the passage of scripture would instead probably read, and Phil stopped, put his face in his hands, and grumbled, just get him over here. What our response to this would be, that's the reaction of the crowd. The people who are gathered around Bartimaeus, rebuking him and telling him to be silent. But it's very important to say this, that isn't Jesus' reaction. When Jesus calls Bartimaeus, the crowd isn't telling him, you're in for it now. You really did it this time. No, they say, take heart. You could translate this from the Greek as cheer up. They can tell Jesus isn't angry. Jesus wants to see him. And when he gets there, when he's standing in front of Jesus, Jesus doesn't rebuke him like the crowd. In fact, Jesus does the exact opposite. By healing Bartimaeus and restoring his sight, he doesn't just help Bartimaeus and enable him to be a regular working citizen of Jericho. It says, and immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. Now, with his sight, Bartimaeus can follow along with Jesus. He hasn't been rebuked. Jesus has instead helped him to follow him with the other disciples. That's why we know this is Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Very few people in the Gospels are given names, let alone full names, with the name of his father. This is a hint that Bartimaeus was really well known to Peter and Mark when this gospel was written down. Even at this point in the early church, Bartimaeus is still following Jesus. So this shows us that those assumptions we may make about God are wrong. God loves us. God never stops loving us. We may turn our backs on him. We may do things that break the relationship we have with him, but he never leaves us. Even when we've sinned and we've gone astray, he's there hoping for us to repent and come back into that relationship with him. On top of that, he never gets tired of listening to us. When we get frustrated or think he doesn't want to hear us, he's probably thinking the exact opposite, hoping that we would turn to him even more. And our prayer doesn't have to be something grand and eloquent. Even the short prayer of Bartimaeus here, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," is sufficient, is good. In just about every liturgical or sacramental church, Anglican, Roman Catholic, Orthodox, there's a part of the Eucharist called the Kyrie. Because in the Greek, and until recently in the Roman Catholic Church, they would pray the words, Kyrie eleison. In Greek, it means, Lord, have mercy. If it sounds familiar, it's because that's how Father Jim just started out this service. Lord, have mercy. And when he stood up there and prayed that, everyone out there prayed in response, Christ, have mercy. To which he responded in prayer, Lord, have mercy. For us, it's a simple back and forth where we take turns praying to God. That Kyrie isn't an Anglican prayer or a Roman Catholic prayer or an Orthodox prayer. It's the church's prayer. It was Bartimaeus' prayer, and it's our prayer. For the Orthodox, if you go to one of their churches, they'll do 50 or more Kyrie eleisons. It gets repetitive, and if you're just a bystander, it can feel like hearing a little kid crying out to his father over and over again. But it's an effectual prayer. It's not something God tires of. It's not this long, drawn-out prayer, but when you hear it, you can tell there's meaning and faith in it. There's hope. Like the boy I mentioned in Walmart at the beginning, hoping to have some interaction with his mother, any interaction. You can tell in this prayer that there's a strong desire to see our Father. Lord, have mercy. It's not a litany of all the things we want or need, but you can tell that everything is wrapped up in that threefold petition. We want God's mercy to heal our friends of illness. We want God's mercy to strengthen the faith of our neighbors. We want God's mercy so we can share his word, so we can help expand his kingdom. We see that here. Bartimaeus wants his sight restored. He wants to follow Jesus. And I'm sure he wants those things I just mentioned for his family and friends in Jericho. And crying out this one prayer, have mercy, sums up those requests in addition to all the things he wants but he can't think of. In addition to things that he doesn't have the words for. It reminds me of Romans 8:26. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When we pray for God's mercy, when we pray that prayer, we need to pray it like Bartimaeus, like a little kid who has no one else they can turn to. We want to address the right person, but other than that, the words don't matter. What matters is the faith, the reliance behind those words. Lord, have mercy. It can be as simple as those three little words, but it doesn't have to be. I had a New Testament teacher who always had people ask him which Bible translation they should get. King James, RSV, ESV, and he would always say, the best is the one that gets you to read it the most. Well, it's the same kind of thing with prayer, and that's what we hear from Bartimaeus' shouting. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be eloquent. Even something as simple as Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, works. We just need to pray more frequently and in an ever deeper faith. Jesus doesn't tell Bartimaeus, I'm only doing this because your prayer was so eloquent. He says, your faith has made you well. Even in those few words, Bartimaeus showed a great depth of faith. And that's what led to Jesus' intervention. When we read this passage, we often put ourselves in Jesus' place, imagining how frustrating Bartimaeus would be. Instead of putting ourselves in his place like that, we need to read this and admit that our natural inclination is to be like the crowd, to be one of the ones rebuking Bartimaeus. But the one thing separating Bartimaeus from the rest of that crowd isn't his blindness, but his faith. It's a faith that allows him to approach and eventually follow Jesus. It's not that Jesus is like us in our sin. It's that we can be like Jesus. What we need to do is to turn to him in faith and ask for his mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us, sinners. Amen.